You know, we live in a society where it seems like we are constantly bombarded with toxic messaging and even negative content that really doesn't align with many family values. In fact, I'd go as far to say that it's not even positive. It tends to be negative. Well, the newest podcast from the Must Increase Network, Connection Culture, helps you and your family navigate this media-driven culture that we live in and helps you discover how you can actually use the power of connection to make more meaningful relationships and increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others. And we wanted to showcase this podcast to you this month. So this month, Church Media HQ is on hiatus as we prepare new content for August and beyond. So we're bringing you replays this month, and we're going to be bringing you one replay episode from Connection Culture each week. So if you like what you hear, go subscribe to Connection Culture wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find it on YouTube and Facebook. And let's get right to this replay episode of Connection Culture. Welcome back to Connection Culture. And before we begin today's episode, I want to remind you to take a moment to subscribe. If you're listening to podcasts, we're available in Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and just about any podcast platform. Or if you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you are watching on YouTube or maybe Facebook, like this video, because that helps this content get seen by others like you. And go the extra mile and share it, because that will help, again, this content gets seen by other people. Well, today we are having a conversation with the man who's actually the producer of Connection Culture, Bo Snyder. Bo has been a videographer and filmmaker for years now, and he and I share a passion with using the power of connection, specifically the power of video, to create positive content and spread the message of hope and truth. That's what we love to do. And so we have a very insightful conversation coming up with Bo Snyder. Okay, here we are. We're back on the mic. We are live. Well, not live. You're not listening to this live, but we are live in this moment.
We are live in
this
moment.
This is happening. And side note, I do love having you in studio, because most of the time when I'm talking to a guest, it's over, you know, a Zoom call, which is great.
That is true. Yeah.
But, you know, having this studio experience is a little bit better.
Yeah.
And so it just a little more favorable, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
So today we are starting. Bo, you're going to be with us here for the next few episodes as we walk through kind of an opening series of content here.
Yep.
And we are basically going off this premise of we are all addicted. And we are addicted to, it could be something, I mean, there are people out there that are addicted to, you know, drugs and prescription drugs and,
sure,
you know, tobacco or alcohol or whatever. And that can be pretty devastating. And then there's kind of the more seemingly innocent, you know, addictions, caffeine and sugar,
mm-hmm,
you know, and honestly, like I said, you do the studies on that, and they're actually, those are pretty bad addictions as well.
They are. Yeah.
Guilty. But we're not talking about, those are all external things,
yeah,
that they are really, when you look at the science, that's not what you're addicted to.
No,
none of those things. You're actually not addicted to those. You're addicted to what those cause to happen to you internally.
Yeah.
And so there's something called dopamine. And dopamine is the chemical in your in your body that's released. Basically, it's the more or less the pleasure chemical.
Yeah.
It's what makes us happy. And there's nothing.
I think I've heard Zig Ziglar say it's the feel good,
yeah,
chemical or whatever.
Exactly,
it can happen through a lot of different things. But.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it in and of itself. So
no.
You know, I mean, when something happens and you laugh, okay, you have a release of dopamine there.
Yeah.
And you know, these things that happen, these moments that make you happy, you release dopamine. So there's nothing wrong with, you know, it in you know, moderation.
Sure.
But the problem comes is when that chemical becomes released into our bodies too often, and too much, and we become addicted to certain there's certain external things that can trigger levels of dopamine in the human body that are unhealthy and that are actually addictive. And one of the things that we are addicted to is that of media. Mm-hmm. And really,
definitely.
I mean, it's hard to quantify that. So it's hard to, you know, get stats on it maybe, though there are, we'll talk about some of the stats and whatnot here later. But the truth is that I would dare say that the most common addiction is media and media consumption. Scripture tells us, Ephesians 5 verse 18, it's the verse that tells us, it basically says, don't get drunk. Okay. which is great advice.
Yeah,
great advice
it definitely there. Is.
And it's saying that, you know, you don't get drunk, but why? It says instead of that, you need to be filled or you need to be controlled by the Spirit. So it's basically that scripture telling us you don't need to get drunk. You don't need to get, you know, kind of, if you will, you know, having these intoxicating experiences where you lose control of yourself.
Right.
Because who should be controlling you as a Christian is actually the Holy Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea of dopamine, we say, okay, well, I don't get drunk. Okay, I don't. Okay, and there's many people out there who don't. Okay,
yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about. He said, I don't get drunk. I don't do drugs. You know, I don't do these things. So that doesn't apply to me. Well, back then, when the scripture was written, there was no technology.
Right.
You know,
right.
There were situations, or there was nothing like that. You know, but there was alcohol, and so this was the example that Paul uses.
Okay.
You know, basically, when you consume too much alcohol, it consumes you.
Right.
And
ooh,
that
good.
Is yeah, good. And but that can be applied to anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we are talking about dopamine, we're really talking about how when we have these excess hits of dopamine, we're getting drunk on our own wine. You know, it's almost like
whatever that wine may be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We are, like I said, it's something external is triggering it.
Yeah.
But what we're really addicted to is this thing called dopamine. And whether you're an alcoholic or whether you're someone who sits around and looks at your phone all day and just, you know, scrolls social media and gets overly excited about it, it's the dopamine that's being triggered.
Right.
And there's actually, it's insane. There's algorithms. So if you ever posted on social media or Instagram, maybe you don't have your maybe you have your notifications on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
If you post on Instagram, what happens is you will start getting, depending on how many followers you have, you're going to start getting likes pretty quickly. But what happens is you'll post, and then let's say you post a photo, you exit the app, you kind of forget you posted it.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't post it and just sit there and dwell on it. Like they post it and they send it and they don't think about it.
Yeah.
Instagram has this algorithm. It's strategically waiting. So you might get likes, but it's not going to tell you right away. And for those that are the addicts to maybe this type of social media, they are posting and they are the ones sitting there waiting.
Yeah,
they post and they sit there and they wait. No one's liking my photo. You know, they kind of freak out. Well, you might be, and you probably are. You probably are getting likes, especially like I said, if you have the more followers,
right,
the quicker
sure,
this happens.
Sure.
But what happens is Instagram's algorithm intentionally wants you to have this moment of excitement where your post goes out and you're excited, and then you get disappointed. So what happened was a release of dopamine because I just released it, or I just kind of put it out there in the internet.
Right.
But then that dopamine didn't continue to flow. It kind of went away, and I kind of had this high, and I came down, and whatever. Now I'm disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, you could start getting likes right away. Instagram waits. I don't know how many it is. I don't know if it's a set number. But until you have a certain number of likes or a certain percentage of your followers or whatever, they have all these ways to calculate it. Basically, they wait until you have however many likes, and then, boom, they blast them all in there.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah. So this is something that social, and I'm picking on Instagram, but that they have built into their algorithm. And so what happens is, like I said, you send it, you're excited, you get that dopamine hit. Well, now you're disappointed and you're waiting. Now all the dopamine's gone. You're just, now you're on the other side.
Depths of despair.
Yeah.
Nobody loves me.
And then boom, just lights up. Notification. So-and-so liked. And then you check it, and boom, and now you have a second dopamine hit.
Wow.
And so you have the initial one, and then it kind of continues to do that.
Yeah.
So again, so you check it, oh man, you engage, maybe you reply to some comments.
Yeah.
And now it's just that cycle, because the continuous flow of dopamine, you know, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
It's those hits right. that make it significant, you yeah. know? And so this thing called dopamine is, again, there's nothing wrong with it in and of yeah. itself. Everybody, you should laugh. You should have a good time. You should have fun. You should have pleasurable things happen. But it's this, I guess, misuse of it, mm-hmm. and this losing this balance of it.
Well, I guess maybe you could say, you know, in modern terms or simplest terms, I like things simple. You know, would it be accurate to say, don't be saturated?
Yeah.
Don't be consumed.
Yeah.
Completely. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like
that
said,
might be a way of saying it.
Your media, you should consume media, and media should not consume you.
Right.
You can put that statement with anything.
Yeah.
And you are the consumer. And so there are dangers of media.
Oh,
okay.
Man,
so and
yes.
we can talk about that for a minute.
We can talk about that all day.
But the thing is I don't like to go too far down that hole. And here's why.
No.
Because I think it's very obvious, especially amongst the type of audience that we have. If you
yeah.
are interested and you're listening to this content, it's because you do see that there's a potential problem, and you're a parent or a family, and you want to see, you know, you understand the dangers, and maybe you're even on the far side that says, yeah. I hate it all, it's all bad.
Right.
And so I don't like going down the hole of saying it's bad, 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 bad too sure. much. But there is some potential dangers of it. So about every day, the average person spends about 4 hours a day consuming, watching television.
Yeah.
And this stat is pre-2020.
Yeah, I bet some stats have skyrocketed. You know, this is funny, because back when I taught media production at the school, you know, for a high school elective. And if I remember right, if these stats are, these are a couple years old now, but it said, most of my research said, the average person consumes 6 to 8 hours of media per day, as far as screen time, you know. And they're like, oh, no, that's way too high. I was like, well, let's break it down a little bit, you know. And I was like, well, how much time do you guys, you know, are in front of a screen at school? Oh, you know, maybe an hour or two.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. Well, what about after school? How much time do you spend, let's just say you watch TV from, you know, 8 to 10 o'clock? Well, there's 2 more hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just, you know, phone, texting, mm-hmm. you know, social media, whatever. And it's funny, we just kind of put those building blocks together, and all their eyes kind of lit up like, okay, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
You know, and like yeah. when we said 6 to 8 hours, like, oh, no, that's a quarter of our day or more. It's just like, well, when you actually sit down and think about it, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Really.
And that's, it can be very obvious amongst someone like that who's a student. You know, because
yeah.
you're spending your days in a classroom and,
right.
and whatever. And but now a lot of schools, they're having, you know, you have iPads and whatnot, laptops.
Yeah.
But, you know, these stats, like when you think about 4 hours, well, we're talking about entertainment. We're not talking about, because I think in the professional world, it's very easy for those lines to be blurred.
Yes, of course.
I mean, for example, spend.
This, I guess I should have clarified. This is meant for pure
yeah.
fun, just, you know, yeah. entertainment, I guess. Not, oh, I spent, you know, 4 hours learning how to do this on YouTube. Well,
exactly.
That doesn't make, that's not
yeah.
because.
But it's worth noting.
Yeah, because, definitely
you know,
is.
Like I'll spend much of my day in front of a computer screen, you know, here working.
Yes.
Yes. And so, like I said, that's why in the, you know, the professional world, the business world, the lines have kind of gotten blurred.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Think about it. You go back 50, 100 years, maybe, and you put a screen in front of somebody, they're going to be like, I mean, literally, people
yeah.
are going to be like, oh, it hurts my eyes. What is this?
Yeah.
And over the years, because of, you know, using it for work reasons, we've
right.
gotten accustomed to it on every level. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we are talking about, you know, hey, just 4 hours of kind of just watching Netflix,
yeah.
you know, television or movies or
right.
whatnot.
I am playing a game now. I think it's every Sunday morning I get a report on screen time.
Oh, yeah, screen time.
That actually does come to my phone. I do allow that to come
yeah.
to my phone. And I've actually been getting down. It says,
good.
Oh, it decreased 10%, whatever. Because there's some weeks where it's like, okay, well, you know, once again, sometimes a week will be off because you traveled or, you know, something. But normal weeks, it's just kind of like, oh dear, like,
yeah,
that was not good. So I've kind of tried to push it down, you know, but that's kind of something I've kept track of. One thing I actually
good
to tell me that because I need to be aware.
Glad you brought that up. That is actually something, screen time, the screen time feature on iPhone, and I would assume Androids have it now.
I think it actually breaks it down. If you click on it, I think it shows you spent this many hours on Instagram or whatever. Yep. Okay, it does.
So I do. I highly recommend that. If you are, so first of all, let's actually get practical on that for a minute.
Yeah.
So if you're a parent, there is a way to, you know, limit screen time. So you can actually develop a passcode that only you know, your child doesn't know, and you can limit. You can say, you know, for social media apps, I want to limit it to 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is a day. Yeah. And then at the end of that time, it's going to essentially kick them out of the app and they're not going to be able to access it until the next day. Wow. So that's a fantastic
feature.
It's
probably a good tool for adults.
Yeah. That's true.
Of course, you know, everybody says, oh, I'm not that bad. I mean, I really do think I am on the, whatever the word is, the lower end of social media consumption. I mean, I course, this time of year, it's depressing, but I, you know, like Fox News, mm-hmm. I do consume a lot. That I consider that my news feed. I really do. I'm going to follow several right-wing, you know, Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, all those kind of people, you know. But it's, if you do not watch it, it gets out of control.
Yeah.
Real fast. So that's actually a pretty good idea for even adults. Like, hey, I'm going to put a cap on this.
We're going to get right back to our conversation here in just a moment, but I wanted to take a break so that I could let you know a little bit more about Connection Culture and specifically the company behind Connection Culture, and that is Must Increase. Must Increase is more or less a creative network that seeks to create content much like Connection Culture that is about positive values and provides helpful insight. And we've done work and helped churches over the years and families. And that is what Must Increase is all about. It's about creating positive content in a society where it seems to all be all about the negative. Well, we've got actually some free resources for you and your family. And this includes some downloads of some of the past films that we've made. And we've also got some resources there. We've got a guide to help you navigate through media, kind of some ways that you can, some practical insight, practical steps that you can take to be a better consumer, to connect in a more effective and positive way. All of this is free, and we want you to have it. All you got to do is head over to mustincrease.com, and you will find a place where you can download that. I'd love to send that right over to you. So just head over to mustincrease.com and sign up to receive these free resources. And that way you can start having a part in using the power of connection for good. And of course, seeing it increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others. So head over to mustincrease.com and get your free resources today. Now we'll get right back to our conversation. So like I said, from a parent's perspective, you know, it's great to be able to actually set those controls. But hey, I was going to say, if you really want to take it to the next level, you know, as an adult, maybe you get your spouse or you find a friend and ask them to basically put you on the same lockdown. Like, hey, you come up with a passcode, don't tell me.
Yeah.
And let them, because it also allows you to block things like adult content and, you know, potentially there. So I would highly look into that screen time feature and those restrictions there. But if nothing else, it gives you that report, you know, every week, and it tells you, you know, hey, your screen time was up, your screen time was down. And I was honestly, you know, when Apple announced that feature, I don't know if Android phones do it. I just use an iPhone and I always have.
Yeah.
But when Apple announced that feature, I was actually kind of shocked because I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, this is your business.
It's like they're telling on themselves.
For real though. It's a great feature, but again, it only does you any good if you use it. So, this idea, people are spending a lot of times watching TV. When you think about social media, that's another couple hours a day, doing things like texting or even making phone calls that accounts for another couple hours.
Yeah.
And so really at the end of a day, you can have people spending 8 to 10 hours, from these stats, this is not doing work.
Right.
This is of their leisure time.
There's a good word for it. Leisure time.
They're using screens and media, and they're consuming media in their leisure time. I mean, goodness, so let's think about it. If you work for 8 hours, you sleep for 8 hours, well then, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the rest of your
time.
Yeah,
that's true.
And the average person, and they're looking at their phone about every 9 minutes. I have heard, and I've heard some stats that suggest it's more than that.
Oh,
I think we
what?
Just pulled like the most conservative one
right,
we could find.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm guessing you listened to this. I think not too long ago, I was listening to old Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.
Yes.
And I don't know how he put it, but I think he said like touches per day or how many times you look
how
at
how many times you touch it was insane.
But it was like 2,000 or something. It was like something insane. I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's true. I don't know, but there's, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, data out there. But I thought that was really interesting because,
yeah,
shout out Craig Rochelle. I mean, I believe whatever the guy says.
Oh,
you know, it's, I don't think he would say something without the research being there. So I believe if you really – is there any app that tells you how many times you actually pick up your phone, open it, touch it?
I don't
know if there might be. I don't know. I don't have one.
I don't know if there's a way to track that, like every time you get a touch or whatever.
Like just click
you
it
know?
Out and see the time or whatever.
But like I said, the screen time kind of gives you that idea because it, you know, tells you how many minutes and how many hours you've spent on it.
True.
So,
that's
but true. Yeah, I mean, even if we go with that 9 minutes and that, like I said, I think we just picked like the most conservative stat we could find.
Yeah.
But even so, I mean, I've touched my phone a lot here.
No, I don't know how many times it's just funny. My wife and I will be sitting watching a Hulu show or something.
Yeah,
I'll have my phone sitting right there. And I'll just like grab it, click it, and look at it and put it back down. I don't even know why I did it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember what time it was. I don't know why I checked it. You know,
it's
just one of those things where it's
or I love when I actually get my phone out to, you know, do something innocent, like check the time, and then I see a notification or a text that came through, and I reply to it or whatever. Full disclosure, it's happened while we've recorded right now, because I just got a text that I had to reply to, because it was kind of an urgent question that I needed to answer, and so I did. And then also here, a few minutes ago, I got an email, and I couldn't read the whole thing, but this notification, and usually I don't see them, but because I got my iPad open because my notes are here, this notification pops down on my email and it says something, and I start to read the subject line there, and all I can see is the subject line and who it's from, and but then I start to speculate all this stuff. It's amazing where how the mind goes, and then I'm like, oh wait, we're having a conversation here,
right?
And so
I'm over
this,
here. No.
Yeah,
no, I don't know how many times I've done this. I've opened my phone. What's to say we're having a conversation about something? And okay, I want to look that up, whether it's anything, you know, whatever. And then I'll get on the front page of Google. It's like all this news or whatever. Oh, and I click on that and I read it. And then by the time I get back, what was I going to look up?
Yeah.
Totally forgot.
Yeah.
It happens to me all the time.
Oh, yeah. So we do. We use our phones a lot.
Yes,
and again, I don't want to dive down this rabbit hole of thinking like, oh, this is such an awful, bad thing. Because I do. Look, man, I run a business that is built on media and technology. So
I
obviously see that there is value in it.
Of course.
And the truth is that, a lot of times you're touching your phone or picking up your phone. It's like, well, okay. Like, for example, I just had a text that I had to respond to. It was something that was just a question that had to be answered in a timely manner or whatever that was, you know, and then stuff will come through. It's like, hey, you've got to – it's not that it's all bad.
No.
It's not that just because you're using it that much, it's bad per say.
Well,
but when we think about the fact that, you know, like I said, every 9 minutes, you don't necessarily have to look at your phone every 9 minutes, 100% because something's essential. A lot of times that's because, again,
we make it essential.
Yes. Getting back to, oh, we're checking social media. We're doing something to get that dopamine hit.
Right. Well, speaking of media, when we did the live event, this is one of my favorite things that I did is I love history. I just love the history, read about it, watch it. And we're going to talk about the power of media for a second. I'm not going to dwell on this too long. This is a very long conversation.
Well, I'm glad we're moving on this because I was just about to let you kind of run with this because
I'm just going to be really, really quick on this. Is back in the day, you know, there wasn't as much media as there is now. Obviously, it's a very, you know, elementary comment there. But back in the Vietnam War, okay, wars had always been, okay, take World War II. There was never a time where morale was as high or unity was as high. Hey, we're going to win this war and everything's going to be fine. You know, it really was an incredible time in American history. It's phenomenal. It's unbelievable to read about.
Yeah.
But Vietnam was completely different. And I'm condensing this very, very much here.
It's good though, honestly.
Yeah,
this is important.
I'm condensing this very, very much.
This is so powerful.
But the reason Vietnam was different because most people look back at Vietnam and think it was one of the most dark, mm-hmm. horrible times in just, you know, the 60s and 70s, very bad time in American history. But here's why. Because that was the first time the media actually told the American people what to think.
Mm-hmm.
They actually wrote the narrative as it was happening, saying, hey, we're actually going to show you what's going on over there and put the spin on it that we want yeah. to. It was because we all know, I mean, cameras and, you know, reporters were around in World War II and Korea. We know that.
Yeah, but the technology wasn't as advanced.
It wasn't as advanced. Definitely was not advanced by that time. But it was the first time that the reporting actually went from, hey, here's what's happening, to here's what's happening, and this is what you should think about it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the transition to where, of course, now, I mean, 50, 60 years later, I mean, we're doing that. We're not just telling people. We're telling them what to think.
And, exactly. You know, thinking for them.
Yes. So that was something, you know, once again, a very condensed version. But the media at that time, we need to think for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because there's very, very few, you know, even middle of the road or right wing networks and, you know, news outlets, media outlets out there, is they don't really tell you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They just tell you, hey, here's what we think.
Exactly.
You should come along with us.
Yep.
You know, and we could get into so many politics that we're not going to right now. But that was the first example of, we're going to put this picture in front of you, and we're going to tell you that it's wrong, yeah. tell you what to think. Don't be that person, because there's 9 out of 10 people go, okay.
Yeah.
You know, be the one person that says, okay, I need to find something that is, what's the word? Not neutral, but objective, not objective.
Objective, balanced.
There you go. Yeah. Just give it to me, and I will think for myself.
Yep.
And you just need to teach your kids that. Holy mm-hmm. cow. You could do that with anything, with media, with Christian, with whatever. Don't tell them what to think all the time. Yeah. Just teach them how.
Exactly.
To evaluate and think for themselves.
Oh, I'm going to chase that for just a moment.
Yeah, go ahead, because I want to go really fast. Go ahead.
You know, this is something that, you know, like I said, we don't intend to be particularly political here.
No.
You know, you already talked about, you know, Fox News, and then, of course, there's Fox News on the one side, but then on the other side, you've got your CNN.
Sure.
And here's what I've observed.
Yeah.
These, on both sides, the right and the left, it is all about, there's some examples. There's some, you know, particular programs or personalities who may not be this. But a lot of it is about, okay, we have an agenda we want to push.
Mm-hmm,
we have a spin we want to put on this.
Yep.
And I would go as far as to say this, and I would challenge adults with this. If your primary news consumption is coming from one of the mainstream media outlets, and I'm including Fox News in that,
mm-hmm.
you need to get make your primary source somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in that, because the problem with this, you know, one of the big talks now is big tech and big media.
Oh man.
Is that these you trace back to, you know, kind of follow the money, if you will.
Oh yeah.
And ultimately the owners and the people who are operating these companies and the businesses behind them, they're all kind of like run by just, there's like three or four big like media moguls that really run all of this.
Isn't that something?
It's insane. And so really what's happening is ultimately you've just got this big machine and they've all got an agenda. And so that's why I really encourage you, find the independent news outlets out there. You know, I'm thinking of like the Daily Wire, you know, Ben Shapiro and, mm-hmm. and all them. I mean,
Drudge Report's a good one.
Yeah, and then but it's still got that independent, small feel. I think they've kind of changed politically, but still,
Tell me this, just a random question. Would you think it's accurate or just, you know, not ludicrous to say overall maybe 10 individual people control what 300 million people actually consume?
Well, thanks again for joining us for this episode of Connection Culture. I do want to remind you to take a moment to subscribe, like, share, let others know about this content. If you found it helpful to you, then share it, because it will be helpful to the person you share it with. And now is the time to be sharing your feedback and your thoughts and your questions with us, because it will really have a huge part in shaping future episodes. There's a very good chance if you share feedback now, we will be able to cover it in some way or another in the next few episodes. So you could do that by leaving a comment on YouTube or Facebook. You can leave your thoughts in a rating or review there on Apple Podcasts, or you can reach out to me the old-fashioned way. You could shoot me an email. My email is luke@mustincrease.com. That's luke@mustincrease.com. Let me know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. Connection Culture is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is produced and edited by Bo Snyder. Show notes are developed by Nash Mead. Executive producer and host is myself, Luke Clayton. And until the next episode, I do want to remind you of this. Get involved with using the power of connection for good. How do I do that? You say, well, how do I do that? Well, be nice on social media. That's a great start. But also get behind the things that you believe in. You see someone that's putting out content that you believe is valuable, that you believe provides positive inspiration. Share that with others. Like we've said, share these episodes with others, because this seeks to be positive content, helpful insight. We want to inspire hope and increase truth in the lives of others. So get behind what you believe in. And keep this in mind. When you do that, you are going to find fulfillment, so much more fulfillment, because you will have been a creative contributor rather than just being a mindless, constant consumer. We'll see you next time here on Connection Culture.